Hare Krishna. Yeah. I feel very honored and very happy to be here in this extremely sacred place, the abode of the Lordships, Sri Sri Kalachandji. As I was flying down from Houston, my mind was thinking about Kalachandji. And how every city which is there more or less, whether it's Houston, Dallas, Detroit, Pittsburgh, everywhere the Lord has created His own divine presence, even in the Western world. All glories to our Savior, Srila Prabhupada. That all of us who are, I think all of us here are Indians today, more or less, I don't know, even some Western people may be there. But for us this has been such a, I'm sure, shelter, right? So, very happy to be a part of this nice community of Dallas devotees, and I thank them for inviting us to share something which may be of some use and wisdom, application to already beautiful lives, may add some value, hopefully. We've been touring different places last 3 years. Trying to help our society, especially in the area of creating more stable, happy, harmonious families who are dedicating their lives to Krishna consciousness. Always been a struggle, I'm sure, for all of us to do that, to reconcile the rigors of Krishna consciousness with the stresses of family life. It's always been not a very easy thing for most of us. And yet, there is so much to share based on the wisdom we have from the Indian traditions, from Prabhupada's books, and from experience, which may help all of us. So, these few words, I will start our prayers for invoking the Lord's blessings upon all of us to go smoothly to today's proceedings till about evening, whatever time we have. And hopefully all of us can learn together the beauty and sweetness of Krishna consciousness as applicable to our family situations. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Adati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advai Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the theme of the presentation we have. Is it coming on the screen?
Yes.
Okay, right. So, in the beginning, my dear friends, I would like you to first open your hearts, open your minds, to again refocus on an extremely important part of our lives, which is our own families. Dallas is a beautiful community of Krishna devotees in this part of the world. Community. Where people commune with a sense of unity of purpose. That is called community. A Krishna-centered community. Communities have numerous advantages in our Krishna-conscious lifestyle. For most, it gives us a strong sense of security, bonding, and sense of belonging. Communities are made up of families. If the communities have to go strong, which is what Prabhupada deeply wanted in his beautiful society of Krishna consciousness, if we need to have strong communities in this world, which are Krishna-centered, it has to start with strong families which are Krishna-centered. You will agree on this? Right? We couldn't be really doing anything to the outside world unless it comes from our own internal families. The goodness of the world starts with our own homes. And the cradle of all values is our own home. Right? Where all the samskaras of the world are nurtured, cultivated, promoted, and then exported outside. Right? So, the family becomes a very strong base where we need to learn deeply to incorporate these principles. The title I to We is very significant in the building up of strong families, communities, and societies. When we use this word I to we, what sort of thoughts come to our mind? Well, yes, what comes to mind primarily is the fact that generally in our normal state, you call it conditioned state or illusion state, whatever state you call it, we always think of the world in relation to me. Is it not true? All of us, basically, intrinsically, we just think of everything in relation to me. Now that's all right in one sense till we get married. Till you're a bachelor or a brahmacharini, there is nothing like bachelor anini. So, bachelor or unmarried kumari kanya, you know, unmarried girl, unmarried young lady, right? Till that time it's okay to just think of me, that freedom and everything which we all experienced during a teenage and early 20s, it's fine. However, is it not true that we'll have to really put it in the backyard, that I think, and move on, when you move on to family life, we'll have to think of now? We will have to, we understand this is natural. However, whether it really manifests in our thoughts, words, and deeds is what is going to be something we're going to explore today. Right? If it's really something which has become intrinsic to our lifestyle, it'll be creating great harmonious families. If not, if we are still sticking to the I concept very strongly, rigidly, then it is definitely a source of conflict. Right? So, we look at family life as a means to gradually dissolve the I and gradually allow the we to become most prominent part of our thought process. The larger interest, then it can expand, the circle can expand, family, the community, the society, and the world at large. This is the way spirituality actually blossoms within the heart of any sadhaka. This is the blossoming of human consciousness. And no matter what path you take, what path of spirituality you take, it has to go through this path of I to we. And there is absolutely no other way. We are using the path of Prabhupada's teachings, the path of bhakti, which is a very powerful means to move on from I to we. The most wonderful means to do that. And so that's the basic concept. And we have kept Prabhupada in the... if you can see Prabhupada, he's smiling there. He's smiling to see his... this is all of us who are here, the wife and the husband. It's not just some picture. This is... every woman should identify with the lady with the mehndi, and the other one is the one with the nice, ornate kurta that he is wearing. So it's all of us. And Prabhupada is seeing at all of us, at our bond. He is looking at not our faces, not our abdomen, not our feet, looking at what is the beauty, the stability of this bond. Right? Prabhupada is keenly watching all of us. Let's be conscious of Prabhupada in our family life. We'll have to begin with a small, simple, but yet useful story. I'd like to request Vishakha Priya to just share some thoughts on this simple, nice story.
Actually, Prabhupada always told that we should always remain childish or childlike. Childish. Not childish, childlike. And what is the speciality of a child? Child means is always learning, always wanting to learn something new. When you stop learning, you stop growing. Isn't it true? So, as children, we all have grown up reading and hearing stories from Panchatantra, Aesop's Fables, Panchatantra. This very beautiful story very graphically describes the topic that we are going to discuss over the next few hours. And this is the topic of a group of birds who are migrating from one place to another. In winter, the birds go from one place to the other. And while the whole flock of birds was flying, after a long distance, in the middle of the forest, they see some grains. So one of the birds was hungry, just swoops down, starts eating the grain. And the other birds are all watching. And what do they see? Nothing happened. So one by one, all of them started coming down. And when most of them were down, what happened? This hunter who was hiding in the bushes, he just let loose his net and captured all the birds at a time. He was waiting for all of them. And all the birds were so unhappy that for birds, freedom is the main thing. And that was lost. So they all started squeaking and quacking and everything. So the leader of the birds was still in the sky. And what did he tell them? Don't worry. What you should do, simultaneously all of you start flapping your wings together and you see the miracle that happens. So all the birds who were so miserable, they just started flapping simultaneously. And what happened? The synergy that was created by it, the net didn't go away, but the birds got the energy to fly off with the net. The whole flock of birds just rose into the sky along with the net and they were able to escape. So the moral of the story was what? The power of synergy. From when we are individual, what can we do? Nothing. But when we are together, we can do so much more. That is why I can do X number of things. But when we become we, so we know that, when we marry, first we are one. And then they say 1 + 1 becomes? 2 is 2 less. 11. It becomes 11.
Which mathematics, which maths is this? Is IIT or MIT maybe?
Because this was so true because we have one of senior Prabhupada disciples, Barsana Swami, who stays in New Vrindavan. And he was explaining to some devotees, he works with horses and mules. So he was saying, you know, that when he, one horse can produce one horsepower. Obviously, so if two horses are attached, it should produce two horsepower. Isn't it true? They say, no, when two horses come together, it produces 10 horsepower. And he just couldn't understand that. How is it? If one produces one horsepower, two should produce two horsepower. Where did the extra 8 come from? And then he was saying, within my heart, I started analyzing, and I could feel that when Krishna becomes pleased by two people working together, that extra 8 power he gives as grace marks from up.
Yeah.
Right? To sometimes, you know, you are failing in your paper and lacking 2 marks or something, so the teacher thinks that they, you know, let us just give and push them forward. So that is the power of V. So we are going to discuss now the power of V.
So let's get energized, my dear friends, with this thought of what is the human potential available within the precincts of our family life, which can be explored to its maximum limits if we were to incorporate this very powerful and scientific principle of synergy and harmony in family life. So this seminar is for us to really dive deep into exploring this powerful potential in a way that will be useful to us, to our families, communities, and of course to the world. Let's start with some basic thought process on happiness. All said and done, whether it's Krishna consciousness or this and that, ultimately we are all looking for happiness. That is the most primeval and powerful drive which really makes us move forward in our life, in no matter what we do, whether we come to America or go do this or do that, whatever we do, even when we might come to Krishna consciousness, that drive was the same. We came to bhakti because we wanted to be truly, genuinely, deeply happy. Right? So there are, this building, anyone knows what this building? Everyone knows the building, right? So there are 5 sides to this building. So there are 5 sides which must be fulfilled, and they're called as the Pentagon series of, now this is, this particular revelation which we'll be showing in the next slide is not based on what we just follow as Vaishnavas in our tradition, but these are universal principles of happiness. So let's see what the world research shows. As anyone wants to be happy in this world, must have these 5 basic things fulfilled. Yeah, this is a happy person. The first thing he would need is ethically earned finance. Right? Doesn't talk about more money or less money, but talks about money, which is naturally important for survival. But adds the word ethical, because ethical money is designed to give pleasure, because it pleases Narayan. We followed, it is done with the principles of following some honesty and dharma, right? So then ethically earned finances can give happiness. The second one, of course, is harmonious social relationships. When anybody in this world has good dealings over and above his family, with the neighborhood, with a friend circle, with a social circle, which is based on mutual love and respect, he feels great sense of fulfillment and happiness. The third one, of course, is Kutumba Sukh. Kutumba, of course, is a Sanskrit or Hindi word, which means how much we are integrated in the principle of harmonious family living. And that is a powerful source of generating happiness within our hearts. The fourth is sincere practice of the spiritual practices to which you are affiliated to, irrespective of your dharma, your affiliations to this religion or the other one, right? If you are practicing sincerely your path of religiosity and dharma, it is designed to give you further fulfillment. And of course, last is if you are able to maintain good health, physical and mental health. If you can maintain these 5 things, anyone in this world would be able to experience happiness and have enough strength, on the other hand, to face the challenges which will eventually always come in everyone's life. So we are going to focus not on health or finances. This is not a financial training program. Neither am I a financial expert whatsoever. But definitely we're going to talk something about family life, which is, as you can see probably from your own inner understanding, a key to even the other four. Is it not true? Just consider this factor first. We are talking about the five, but we are zeroing in from the five also into one which is, looks like the key to all other four. Consider in your life, for example, somebody has a difficulty in his job. Right? And for some reason, the boss, the company lays out people and say, okay, suddenly 1,000 people are laid off. Right? It's a serious problem. Some of you may have probably heard, and I hope you have not gone through it. But it's true, right? However, at the home front, if the husband-wife unit is very strong and stable, we are able to still push on with life, right? And tide over. So there are serious health problems. Somebody gets a cancer, somebody gets a paralysis, something happens this, something serious, not cold and flu, but something serious, right? If the family unit is very strong, you can still together face the challenges of bad health, right? If you have some problems with misunderstanding with friend circles, if this is strong, you can still mend it, face it, and deal with it, right? So in every sense, and of course spirituality, how much we all know, in our practices, unless this unit is very stable, even it affects our spiritual output. Is it not true? Right. So therefore we need to understand that stability in family life is not only key to happiness, but key to all other aspects of our life. And therefore, investment. All of us, people who are aggressors, we all invest our money wisely. And we should, because that's a part of principle of living in this world. Yet, we invest our money, but do we invest time, energy, and consciousness into strengthening this unit, which is the access point to all other sources of happiness in our life? So, and this seminar will help us to go deeper and deeper to strengthen this dimension of our life. Is it all right? Okay.
So, we'll do one small exercise now. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to do yoga. But you have to follow this mudra. Can you all see this here? We all know the Namaste mudra, right? Like this? First we can do this.
Say Hare Krishna. Namaste.
The tall finger which we have, we just need to bend it like this.
Parallelly bound. Both the middle fingers should stick to each other all along.
Not just this much, totally.
The whole length should...
Done? You'll have to just hold it a little higher. Now, you try to separate this little finger. Easy? Try to do that to the thumb. Are you able to do? The first finger, index finger. Easy? Now do it to the last finger which is left now. Do?
How?
How?
Hua ka nahi hua?
What is the experience?
Painful.
This is a beautiful Chinese experiment, Chinese finger experiment. The little finger, it represents, we start with the thumb first. The thumb represents our friend circle, right? When we were kids, we had a different batch of friends. They were there with us, they left us, we came in college, some other friends came. Then they also left us. We grew big, our neighbors were there, they are our friends. So friend circle keeps changing. But is it very painful? Life just moves on, right? The little finger represents our kids. Our kids, till they are small, they are all sticking to us and all. As they grow up and they develop all wings, they all start flying off. Girls fly off, get married. Boys go study far away, go to earn far away. They don't remain with us till the end of our life. Most of the times, more so in today's day and age, right? The first finger represents our parents. Although we have a lot of affection and love with them, but obviously nobody is immortal. They are there with us today, tomorrow they are not there. Still life goes on. The pain is there, but it's not so painful. But this finger represents our partners, our spouses, right? Even though all of them leave us, when the spouse leaves us, it is the most painful thing. That's why it must not be for no reason that we use this as the engagement. The ring is put on which finger? This finger, the ring finger. So it is very, very painful experience. In fact, the wise people have said that the pain of losing a partner either in divorce or in death or whatever is as painful as your dying. Because that much that person has become part of your life, which you don't even realize sometimes, right? We just, life goes on and we don't understand how much we have got integrated with each other. But when the loss is there, that's the time when we understand what was part of me, as if a half of me has gone. Prabhuji being doctor, how many patients come to him, you know, with so many diseases. Sometimes sudden backache has developed, blood pressure goes up, diabetes happens and there's no apparent cause. And when you probe a little deeper, you come to know, you know, that either they've had a divorce, marriage is broken, partner has died, and physical symptoms start manifesting because of this loss that you go through. So we just thought that any relationship, it goes through certain stages. Isn't it true? True? Whether we are with friends, in friends we have, you know, sometimes we just have acquaintance, then you have friends, just a hi, hello friend, then you go a little deeper, then you go a little more deeper and you become like pals and intimate friends, deeper friendship, same goes with our relationship. All of us remember the first time we met each other. People are smiling, you know. Already by the thought of
Let the smile become bigger, because those are really happy days.
So that stage, the first stage is called what? The infatuation stage. Whether it is a love marriage or an arranged marriage. In love marriage, there is first love and then the arrangement is done. Sometimes in arranged marriage, there is arrangement first and then love develops in the beginning. Right? So this stage, everything appears what? Great. Not good. Great. You are right, I am right. Whatever you do is the best. Whatever you say is the best. Everything is just perfect. Everything is perfect. What you do is perfect. What you don't do is perfect. What you say is perfect. What you don't say is perfect. Everything looks that, and we all pray for it that would this last for eternity. But does it? Does it? Unfortunately, no. When the lens of our infatuation starts fading off gradually, then what happens? Revelation. Things start get revealing, you know. Things start revealing itself. Like the as it is form, Bhagavad Gita, as it is form of all of us starts coming out. That's why we show this picture of an iceberg, right? All of us know iceberg means what we saw in the beginning is just little bit, and then things starts getting revealed. Oh, it was like this. You were like that. I never knew this. And I never knew that. And this is the most difficult stage. This stage, like we say, no, sadhu sangha, okay, is easy. And then comes anartha nivritti, which is the longest stage, you know. Sometimes it goes on till
lifetimes
it goes on. But when will my anartha nivritti stage get over? But although shraddha happens, sadhu sangha happens, we get stuck at anartha nivritti. And sometimes at anartha nivritti, we either, if we are able to sustain it and survive that stage, then you go on to the other stages. But if we are not able to, then we leave. And that's what happens. Most divorces, they take place at this stage, when just things start revealing. One husband told a wife, you know something? Now I hate you. So the wife said, what a coincidence. Same year. Same here, you know. So things start happening like this, that wow, once upon a time we were like madly in love with each other, and whatever happened now, what happened is only the lens started getting uncovered. And that is when a real test takes place.
Yeah, so this is a difficult stage, a revelation stage, where the not so healthy part of ourselves, as you all know, we have the good side and the not so good side. We have both sides definitely to ourselves, right? But as you stay closer to each other, you will see that there is many things which will be there. Dear friends, those of us who have survived in our married life, we have survived because we have all reached at least, if not higher than, we have all reached more or less the third stage, because we have the stage of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? That means we have learned to live. We learn to accept. There is great power in this virtue of acceptance. In the extreme situation, somebody like Parikshit Maharaj, right? A curse was given to him by a young boy in his teenage, who is somewhere else, other part of the world, and saying, somebody did this to my father, I curse him to die in 7 days, right? What a powerful, powerful event of life, that somebody tells you're going on with your youth, your kingship, and your family, you're doing wonderful things for Krishna's, for the world, and yet you're told in 7 days you will die. But what do we see, Parikshit Maharaj? Acceptance, right? So, even at that level, acceptance makes such a big difference. So, anyway, we have learned to accept our partners the way they are. And this is a very, very healthy sign. The more rapidly we can move on to this part of our life, right? In earlier ages, my dear friends, when there were not much of divorces as the current world experiences, we have very bad stats, right? Nowadays, 70% of marriages goes in divorce. Horrible statistics. But our ancestors, our grandparents scarcely saw this, because they could move to this stage very fast. In fact, they were almost at this stage within a few weeks of their marriage. Some of them were being ready for this before marriage. I mean, they hardly went through infatuation, I believe. Because, they just were, imagine, I mean, this is serious, because I have a friend of mine who's an ophthalmologist. And he's like, in fact, he's younger to me. He's my junior colleague. So he married his wife, and he saw for the first time at the day of marriage. I'm not talking about grandparents. All of our grandparents married maybe in this way. But this gentleman is, my junior colleague, and he saw his wife for the first time in the mandap. And they're happily married with 3 children, right? So that means the samskaras were so strong that the woman and the man so much trusted their parents' arrangements ki pitaji ne kiya to barabar hi kiya hoga. Father and mother are married relations. So the girl would happily accept ki whatever my parents do for me will be thumbs up, will be the best, right? So there's no question of let me try, let me see, let me live with this person for 6 months, let us test it out and this and that. This is the modern version of, trying things. You buy a machine, a bullworker or something, and if it doesn't work with you, 7 days ke baad you can give it back. Or some dabba you take, a powder, give it back, right? So it wasn't like that. So reconciliation is what was always the trend. Which was always there. So the previous two trends have come because of the modern situation. Anyway, and the point is that we do not have to stagnate at this stage. Chalo bhai kya hai, theek hai, the point is, as she was saying before, we can grow. We can evolve. We can deepen our relationship further. And that's very imperative for the Western community. Because if we have to bring about this power of synergy in our life, it will not get so much manifested if it is only hanging around at the stage of reconciliation. To really explore the potential from here to something very wonderful, we will have to move on to the fourth stage. The fourth stage is the stage of consolidation. This is the stage of cementing of relationships. That means there is such deep understanding, such deep harmony, even though there are some small skirmishes, misunderstandings and quarrels, they are far in between, right? Most of the time is spent in positive energy towards doing positive things, rather than just mending the fights and, you know, taking care of each other's moods and fluctuations and things like that. You're more or less gone through all that stuff, right? You really are moving to something very stable and powerful, right? So you're really synergizing to do something wonderful for the first of the family. And even from this stage on, this comes by deep understanding and by sharing more of spirituality among each other. Because then, when you spread spirituality, you have already moved on from the I to the we factor. The we has already become very prominent. So both husband and wife are not thinking any more of themselves, and they are willing to make big sacrifices for each other. And therefore, consolidation is something which happens because it has already becoming more and more we. And even you can go further, and the highest potential will come when you go on to a stage of complete commitment, where there is unshakable, unbreakable unity in the relationship, and this is your max potential reached, where Krishna has so much been the actual purpose of your life, right, that there's nothing more to be achieved. You have actually achieved perfection and harmony. The yoga of your family bond has been achieved. Perfect yogic bonding with your partners, with Krishna in the center, right? So this is the stage of complete union of hearts of the two partners with Krishna bhakti as the exclusive goal and purpose of their lives, right? So this is the stage which we can talk like something like people like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our ideal acharyas, Sita and Ram. These people have reached that stage where there was complete commitment to Krishna consciousness and nothing else was the goal of their life.
So today we don't see this. It hardly any marriages reach to the commitment level, right? We are just going to, I mean, when we are talking of this evolution of relationship, we are talking of evolving in everything. So the more we bring in the Krishna factor in our life, only then the stability comes. Because who brings stability? We know the Amrit Manthan, Samudra Manthan Leela, when the churning was going on and the mountain was becoming unstable, who went under the mountain? Kurmadev, the Lord himself, and he represents stability. So commitment can come only if there is stability. When there is no stability, there is no question of commitment. And till the, I mean, even our children are born, children grow up, children get married and go, and still sometimes the couples are fighting. And they don't get along, you know. There is no stability. Even after their kids get married, why does that happen? Because it didn't start on the right note. So we in Krishna consciousness are so fortunate that we get training for everything. When we get married, when people become brahmacharis, when people take sannyas, there is training given for everything. And untrainedly, if we get into anything, what happens? Disaster. Because we just don't know how to carry ourselves in anything. So how to go from one level to the other, sometimes we don't even think. One of the persons who, where we gave the seminar, they say, oh, I never thought that there are so many stages. I mean, I just thought life is there, whatever. This way, that way, somehow dhaka marke, you have to just continue it. That's what we have heard in our life, right? But it doesn't work like that. Because when we are talking of bonds, there is types of everything.
One more. So my dear friends, before we go to the next slide, Vishaka Priya takes the next slide. In your own hearts and minds, let this seminar be something which you can really, as I said in the beginning, open our hearts to. Right? So in your heart, kindly develop a seed of a desire. Everything in the world has to start from what? Desire. Everything starts from desire. So can we all, who are sitting here in this room today, make this simple yet powerful sankalpa that I would like, by the blessings of Sri Sri Kala Chanji, right, see that my relationship with my partner, by his grace, can move on closer and closer to its highest potential. That means that I am willing, I am not going to attend the seminar for the sake of knowledge, period. I will be part of this discussion and training because I want to undergo a transformation of my consciousness, an enhancement and evolution of my relationship. So, we attend so many seminars, my dear friends. In ISKCON, we have so many seminars, right, on so many things. However, it is regrettable that because the seminars are so well designed by experienced people and people who have been, you know, doing various things, but we do not allow that to sink. We have to allow the hard stone-like soil, which is so rocky, can hardly hold water. But when we make it porous, then porous soil can hold water and nutrients, right? So let us really make the soil of our heart porous with this desire that yes, I want to experience the highest energy with my partner in such a way that ultimately this relationship will be my offering. At time of death, I will offer this relationship to Krishna. Krishna arpanam astu. Krishna says, yat karoshi, whatever you do, whatever families you create, tat kurushva. So, it is not that you just offer money and flowers and fruits and water to Krishna. That's very gross. That's very gross. Krishna does not want these things. That's for, this loka is for beginners. To just start off their life with, do something for Krishna, kuch to karo. But for people like you and me who are trying to move on to a committed lifestyle of Vaishnavism and Krishna consciousness, right? We want to offer our entire family as an offering at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Kalajanji. Because Krishna does not want money. He does not care for simple flowers in one sense, but definitely he cares when hearts unite. And the hearts are offered to Krishna. So let us plant the seed of desire at this point of time within the core of our heart, that the husband who's sitting in this room and the wife, all of us here, right, are going to seriously make an investment and to improve the level of our relationship. And this is the guideline. Whether we had infatuation, somebody maybe we were at Pittsburgh, somebody was 2 months married and he said, Prabhuji, I'm at the first stage right now. but I'm happy to be a part of the seminar because, you know, I know I will have to go through other stages also. But he was a sincere devotee, he was very nice.
I don't know what to look forward to.
Because he was a very nice boy, nice girl, nice lady. So they were very nice people. But anyway, the point is that whether, and please, another factor. Before Vishaka goes on next slide, never feel discouraged. There is unlimited hope in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is the hope for the hopeless, right? Even if, unfortunately, I pray it's not there, but even if you have a very low level of relationship with your partners, there is unlimited way, unlimited hope to go forward, and it's never too late. Whether we start building our relationship when we are 5 years married, or 15 years married, or even 30 years married, is never too late, because it's all done with the desire for sam siddhir haritoshanam. Therefore, it's absolutely perfect to start off from any point to make it more powerful. Is it all right? So, can you all take a moment's prayer in silence for 2 seconds, for a few seconds, to really open our hearts and plant this desire within our consciousness? That what you have heard so far, yes, my dear Lord, I am willing to put serious energy and commitment to move on further on the path of Krishna Bhakti with my family together.
So here we are talking about bonds, right? When we talk of bonding, it looks like, restriction. Some restriction is there. And bonds always bind us to some things. But here we are talking of such a bond that the more you are bound, the more it can liberate us, right? So we are not having these seminars so that everybody becomes like a very, very lovey-dovey romantic couple or something for sense gratification. Because that's not what Prabhupada wanted. He had termed very nicely 2 terms. One was what? Grihastha. And the other was Grihamedi. So when sense gratification is the center of our life, then we become Grihamedis. But when Krishna consciousness, Krishna is the center of our lives, what we become? Grihasthas. And in fact, it is called the Grihastha Ashram. Ashram is the place where we can get some ashray. Ashray means shelter, right? This material world is a scorching place. So many miseries are there, so much of disturbances are there outside, that where do people look for shelter?
At home.
At home. It shouldn't be like one husband comes home and wife says, why did you come home so early today? So I said, because my boss told me to go to hell. So the house should not feel like hell for the person when already we are so much tormented outside world. So much of adi bhautik, adi daivik, everything. So we come home for ashray, for that shelter. The woman does so much in the house, the man does so much outside. And when both of them come together, if they feel some sort of ashray and shelter in each other, then it becomes like what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. When I come home, grihete goloka bhai. He didn't say grihete kurukshetra bhai. He never said that. Although both are dhams. Vrindavan is also a dham and Kurukshetra is also a dham. But obviously, nobody likes to live in Kurukshetra in their house. In fact, some people believe they don't even put up pictures of Krishna, Arjun on the chariot, because they feel if I put this picture, I'll put Ras Leela, put Govardhan Leela and everything else. But I don't want to put this because mentally, somewhere they feel like that. Okay, if I put this, there will be fights in my house. There will be Kurukshetra. Nobody likes that. Everybody wants peace. Because unless there is peace, where is the question of Krishna consciousness? Mm. There is no Krishna consciousness. It's just a hoax. We are going to take up the topics later on called attitudinal detox. Some attitudes which we had acquired from society, some attitudes we acquired by becoming devotees in Krishna consciousness, which were detrimental to our trying to develop a healthy Krishna conscious married life. So that will go later. So here we are talking of bonds. So there are different types of bonds, right? What is this? Post-its, right? We put up on our fridge, on our cupboards, everywhere. They are reminders to do things. Remember, call this one, do that. How easy is to peel off a post-it? Sometimes it flies off on its own. Don't even have to try anything, right? It just falls off. So the bonding is what? Very, very weak. Hardly anything is there. This is what you all call your glue. This is our Indian brand, but we call it glue. When you stick something with glue, it sticks better than post-it. There is something. But still, this also, if you remove, it comes off quite easily. This is what you call super glue. Super glue, when you stick two surfaces with it, it is very, very difficult to come out. Sometimes the surfaces rip apart, they tear. It comes off, but, in broken pieces and everything. And what is this? Welding.
So, where is our bond? Is it a post-it?
Welding, what do you weld together? Paper? What do you weld together? Cloth? Metal. Iron. Right? Sometimes in marriage we feel that our partners are like a hard nut to crack, Just nothing happens. So forget a nut. Even if we are as hard as a iron. Right? But if we still want to bond together, there is possibility of bonding. How does that bonding take place? When iron has to come together, we see in these big mansions which are centuries old, huge gates are there which have been made, and they were brought together by welding. And what helps welding? Fire. Unless there is fire, welding is not strong. You have to put stronger the fire, better the bonding takes place. So most of our relationships go through testing periods. Fire means what? Test. It's never a bed of roses, right? We hope it was, and we think, but along with the rose come all the thorns. You can't have rose without thorns. So it's always going to be that both of them will come together. And when we were speaking of those stages, reconciliation stage comes when we do not have unrealistic expectations. Many times we have that, right? Some people hear, oh, married life is like walking in a park. And suddenly you feel that I didn't know, but it's a Jurassic Park. What happened, you know? I thought I married a Rasgulla and now I'm living with a Karela, you know? Whatever happened over the period of time, we didn't even realize anything about it. So we should always have not very, very hypothetical, rosy, utopian ideas about marriage. Those things are one of the elements. Definitely, that element has to be there, but that's not the all, end all and, you know, everything in it. The testing periods will come, and that's where our bond will be tested, whether that we give up that bond or whether we strengthen that bond. So definitely, tribulations are the right moment when we can utilize it to become more united and more strong. What do you expect? What else do you expect from a doctor?
Well, I've been away from hospital for the last 10 days and I'm really homesick now. I'm missing my patients, so I said might as well do seminars with at least some health considerations. First of all, we won't charge you for this. Any health checkup package cost starts at least at 3,500 in our hospital, and the executive plan goes to 10,800 rupees, but today it is free. Because it is Kalachanji's, sponsored by Kalachanji. So my dear friends, this is now going to be a simple yet powerful exercise for all of us. An exercise on introspecting into our families. Okay? So all of you will have to take out a paper, a pen, or a mobile with notes section where you can, we'll be asking you to write numbers. You won't need a calculator, but just some numbers. So please ready yourself with your mobiles, or if you have a paper pen, that's fine also. And we will encourage all of you to participate in this, because this is truly going to be a very useful exercise for figuring out our own self. This is more like a self-diagnostic situation. You won't be sharing it with us, definitely. We won't ask you for that, because we respect privacy. This family life is, in one sense, quite private, right? And we respect that part of our culture. And yet, there is something which we all can learn together. So that is a public part of it. We can talk about principles together. So
does everyone have? Otherwise, Ras Leela has a lot of paper. I can see. She can share if anybody wants. Anybody needs, you can just put up your hand, please. Ready?
For yours. You are going to share. You have to have two sheets.
You have to write separately, bro. You can't show her.
It is I and then we. First, pehle I.
Tell them the marking
system. So, okay, there's a simple marking system, my dear friends. This is going to be evaluated from a scale of 1 to 10, right? And we'll tell you what these numbers mean, but usually it will be the lower number is like you give lower gradation, you give lower number. When something is very high graded, you can give it 10 and in the range of higher bracket, right? So, let's take the first question. It will be self-explanatory. Okay, so how respectfully do you deal with, I will clarify, you may want to write the question if you want to, how respectfully you deal with each other, right? So when you say each other means it is not the general respect which exists in the bond, but how am I respecting her? With how much I have generated respect in my heart for my wife? Is it a 2? Is it a 10? And how much has she generated respect in her heart for me, that she writes that, right? So you write your level of respect you carry in your heart for your partner. 10.
Yeah.
10 means you are just so respectful. You couldn't respect more.
Somebody, when we did this at some other center, they said, from when should we evaluate? From the beginning of our marriage, or this week, or 1 month, or when? So it's an average.
It keeps changing like the weather of America. Morning is different respect level, evening is different. So if it is like that, and if it is still fluctuating like American weather, then take an average.
Average means like some people, one person was there, we were married for say about like 30 years. She said first 20 years were really rocky. And now 10 years, there has been a change. So you don't need to write about that rocky period now. The past, in the recent past, how has your, evaluation been?
Yeah. And of course, please, we are in the temple room of the Lord. So Lord is seeing.
Last leg of dharma which remains is truthfulness.
So Lord is seeing even with closed doors. In fact, he's already in our heart. Kalachanji resides in our heart also. Right? So be very honest. Right? Be very honest. Right? Because the more honest you are, the more you will gain from this exercise. Okay? Alright.
So just for a little more explanation, respect might seem like a very general term. Mm. So in case if you want little more explanation, to understand what is something, first you have to understand what it is not.
Mm.
So if we want to understand respect, we should first understand what is disrespect. In family structure, what is disrespect? Anybody would like to... What would you do which would mean
when you say that your partner behaved, had a disrespectful behavior towards you?
Yes, Prabhu. Just some words, yeah.
Ignore.
Excellent.
You got it. Perfect. Ignore
neglect.
Is when you ignore your partner, then it's a sign of
disrespect.
Negative marking, correct?
What else?
You take for granted. Yes.
Insult.
You insult.
Yes.
Rude. Insulting, be rude. These are all bad communication, poor communications.
Belittling. You just belittling. Isko to akal nahi hai. You don't understand it. Something like that. Every now and then.
Tula ke samjhat nahi.
Yes, belittling. What else? You got a picture of it. So now you can remark yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe the marks might change. You don't need to be so humble.
So yeah, belittling, demeaning, ridiculing, ignoring,
criticizing, hurting,
offending, chastising, and of course it goes to higher levels like insulting and all, then it is of course very high. Not utopia. I appreciate that. So knowing these negative emotions, then you can be more honest with this respect word.
Even, unfortunately, even though we are devotees, even physical abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse is very, very common. We may appear something else in the temple, but at home we are really something else. So even you should include that as a criteria for respect. Okay.
If you've been doing that, unfortunately, then you get very, very poor marking.
So if that happened,
in the recent, if the relationship has changed, it's not that, it has changed for 1 week and again after 1 week I'm going to become the same. Not like that. Okay. Next question.
She has a question. One sec. Now what comes? So we are talking about the heart at this level, Mataji. Yeah, because that will be more honest, right? More accurate, right? So write what is in your heart. And of course, we'll see how that can even manifest eventually. We'll talk about that.
Usually what is in the heart, it manifests in our actions and words most of the time. Sometime or the other, it will come out. How long can you keep it in your heart?
Yeah, so next one.
Second question.
Please answer this. So, of course, we all understand this, that this is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means what? The age of quarrel, right?
No, no, you get two free apps with Kali Yuga. App of quarrel and app of hypocrisy. Free.
So, hypocrisy and quarrel is a part of our, is in our blood, in our genes practically in Kali Yuga. And nonetheless, discounting for that free app business, how much are we eager to patch it up and quarrel takes place? That's the true sign of a healthy relationship. We're looking at health indices, right? This is a health checkup. So, how healthy is your relationship? Well, there's a problem. How soon in time we took the remedial steps to apply Savlon, Betadine, soothing balm, dressed it up, put a patti there and soothed it with whatever. Words, actions, gestures, whatever, whatever, right? If you've been really in your heart eager and doing it nicely, then score high. But if you've been delaying on this and allowing things to remain unattended, like a wound, like an injury unattended, you know, gets infected, right? So you've been doing that, then you score less. So please score on that. Done?
Eagerness means whether who takes the lead. Do I take the lead? Patch up could be there, but not, you know, like who's taking the... And how eager am I to take the lead to patch it up? That's the score.
One quick question. Like, sometimes it's easy to... I'm very eager to patch up much faster than my spouse. But if I cause a problem, I mean, a disturbance in my spouse, because of her, maybe my mother-in-law, father-in-law, my ego may still come, and then I may not... still affecting my relationship, but, it's not so easy for me to patch up.
Yeah, Prabhu, those are details. Right now what we are asking, reason could be so many things. There are unlimited reasons for discord. But we are just saying that whenever, due to whatever reason happens, how eager am I to patch it up? Like number 4, if I'm very eager, number 8, or like I'm not at all eager. I say, why should I? Why can't they? Then it is 2, 1, whatever. So that's the thing.
Yeah, so now we talk about quarrel and hypocrisy thing, but if it is a very frequent thing, so we are going to a little bit be sensitive to this factor that we won't allow any quarrel as a free app and okay, this goes on, life is like this, what to do? We're going to be sensitive to the factor that if it is very frequent, it is a negative health marking in my relationship, right? And therefore, it is an area of concern because it is not allowing me to progress on the path of happy and peaceful family life, right? So if it is very frequent, but at the drop of a hat, you know, smallest thing we just break into a disagreement and, you know, argument and all, smallest things we just misunderstand, smallest things there is a skirmish takes place, then it is, you know, bad marking. So you can, very frequent, 10, once in a way frequent, 2, 3, like that. Yes.
Prabhu, here we are talking about serious thing. Like, see, sometimes, you know, devotees say, you know, oh, sorry, I must have offended you. Sorry, Prabhu, sir. But we have to understand, just by mistake, if your leg has touched somebody, that's not offense. When I deliberately do something to hurt or to belittle somebody, that is offense. This is, so same way we have to understand that those things are not, we all understand that within our heart. What is serious and what is joke?
Very frequent. Yeah. And there are 3 praharas you type, in all the 3 praharas you fight. No, more fight.
Yeah, yeah. Prabhu, you are not going to do any total or anything. It's for you to judge. To be able to think
so
that, you know.
If you've been, if there is a fight very frequently, which in your response is too frequent and too disturbing in the heart, then it gets 8, 9, 10. It happens, you know, we fight, but we know we just fight not so frequently. There's 2, 3, 4.
Okay, next one.
Yes.
Next.
It'll be interesting to see your score. Yeah. Now, dear friends, we are going to go a little deeper on this now. You see, one is to just quarrel, But now when quarrel comes to a level where it is threatening the integrity of the bond, because there have been some deep issues. Now we don't want to say what is deep issues. I think all of us understand what is deep issues. Issues which are so threatening to the very stability and existence of the bond itself, right? If they are there, and there are many of them, then you have to score high, 8, 9, 10. But there are hardly any deep issues between us. We just quarrel and like that, you know. But there are no deep issues. And number could be 1, right? And in between, as per the situation. In this, you may even take past issues. It may not be recent. Even if there have been very deep issues in the past, because why I'm saying past? Because deep issues of the past have a great potential of being excavated back into the present. Right? So there may be some issue took place at 2 years of marriage and now you are 20 years married. But if there was a very, very deep issue when you were 2 years married, please remember that is a scar. There is a dead body there which may come alive after 20 years also. Right? So we're going to, so that in that past history is important. Okay. So again, this is more now coming to, closer examination. How has been the level, as you can all understand, in our modern world also, the level of communication determines a large to an extent our level of relationship, right? So we have put 3 substances here to make it more specific. What is sugar? Sugar means the communication is very, very sweet, very pleasant, very endearing. When the person speaks, you feel like hearing, I feel like you appreciate the words and you appreciate the content of the words, you appreciate the tone of the words, right? And when there is salt, it is, when you say salt means it is need-based communication. It means as required. Jitna jaruri utna hi hai, jada nahi, kam nahi, bas utna. So it's more or less the communication level is at that level. And methi, of course, is kadwa. So there is bitterness in the communication. When the person speaks, in general, there is the 2 people are having bitter communication many of the times. So here, total is equal to 10. Okay? So salt could be 3, sugar could be 2, bitter could be 5. Or salt could be 8, one sweet and one methi. Right? So make total equal to 10 and evaluate, give 3 numbers. This answer will have 3 numbers. Plus, plus, plus equal to 10. General level of communication. This is not I. This is general level of communication. Communication always between 2 people. Cannot be I. Communication means do log jaruri hai. We are not communicating with the balls. Do. Right? So general level of communication is of 3 natures, you can say. 3 flavors, as you can say. So this is the next one. These are more positive indices now. Because in the first part of our exercise, we took maybe a little more negative indices. But we're going to more positive side now. How often you appreciate, right? So this is a very, very beautiful, healthy sign. Appreciation comes from a heart which is feeling gratitude, right? And we are sensitive to other person's contribution in your life. So this is a very strong V sign. If you score high on this, you are more on the V side of your relationship. If you are low on this, then you are more on the I side because you just can't appreciate what is happening around. So your heart is still not blossomed, evolved enough to see the goodness in the opposite person. So appreciation would be working in that way. Okay, so high appreciation 10, poor appreciation 1. Right? So this is also a very, as you can see, a beautiful thing. When do you laugh with people? What talks about a relationship? When can we laugh with people?
Friends.
When they're friends. When there is ease. When there is free flow. When there is a strong sense of togetherness and intimacy. Then you can even joke over things. Right? And you can laugh. So having hearty laughs is a very positive sign. So if you often laugh together, then you can score high marks. And you hardly laugh. In fact, you are sulking. Yes. Then you get only one or less, right? Yeah, this one. Okay. Since we talked about consolidation phase and commitment phase, these questions which will come now will be able to see how much we have moved on towards the fourth and fifth stages of our relationship, right? At reconciliation phase, this will be a little low. But if the spiritual content of our relationship has been quite high, that means we really enjoy the pleasure of doing activities together. Deity worship or preaching or chanting together or reading for each other, right? Worshipping your home deities together. So it's a strong Krishna-centered binding opportunity. Correct? Right. Together.
Yeah, like we were at Washington and one of the senior disciples of Bhaktisiddhi Maharaj was sharing with us that in US, obviously so many services are there and the Prabhu is doing some different service and the Mataji is doing some other service. There's not so much things to be done together. But he said, whenever we have been able to do something together, we still remember the sweetness of those moments. And that makes us propel ourselves to figuring out whatever ways and means, what all we can do together. Like for example, one devotee was saying, I go for duty dressing on Monday and my wife used to go on Thursday. But you know, when I realized that if we do together, there is more binding that takes place. So we decided, we took commitment in such a way that we both go on the same day. And you know, we are able to do it together.
So you are happy and Krishna is happy to see both of you together in serving him. Right? So it can be a very powerful means of Krishnaizing your bond. Jai. Na. No, on your own. This is your private prayer. Your private prayer, when you feel deeply a sense of concern for your partner, and all of us pray for ourselves. When you come to Kalachanji, the lordships, we fold our hands and usually pray for ourselves or maybe for our children or like that, whatever. But if we are able to really offer genuine prayers for the well-being of our partners, that's a powerful sign that we have a lot of depth in the relationship.
It's the type of prayer that should help the opposite person. Not that I pray that he improves or I pray that she improves. Not that type of prayer. When we are praying that the opposite person is going through struggles, is going through difficulties in their Krishna consciousness, whatever, you know. So we pray that
in general,
Krishna
gives them the support.
In general.
In any way, there is a struggle. Suppose the husband is going through a severe health crisis. Please, my Lord, give him the strength to endure this. And always let him always remember you through this struggle and purification. This is a prayer that the wife can offer to the Lord in the heart for the well-being of the husband. Right? So that's spiritual binding. And this is the last one. Right? In India, of course, as we know, marriages take place between not just two individuals, but between two families, right? So this is also a very nice index whereby if one is really spiritually evolved in his behavior, the partners will be able to see good harmony in also the other person's family. That means I respect and degrade myself with her family, that is my in-laws, and she does with mine, that is her in-laws, right? So when two families are integrated together nicely, because the partners are sensitive to and respectful towards both the parties, it's a very beautiful sign and indicates that there is maturity.
Good health. Because sometimes we always think from our point of view that you just take care of my parents. Once you have left your home, just forget about your parents. Forget about your family. So it doesn't work like that. Or the girl will keep telling the boy, you know, that you are all the time your family. But we cannot forget about our families. They are part of us. So how much we have been able to integrate maturely and offer the mutual love and respect, what we expect from our partner, that we give to the partner's family also. That is the score which we are talking of. Yes. The families might have disagreement, that is different. But what does the partner want to see? That do you understand or no? They are going to wait for our opinion. Let the families think whatever they want to think. But do you also think the way your family thinks? They may think that the wife's family is bad and they are not doing this and they didn't give dowry, whatever, XYZ, you know. But are you also thinking like that and going to treat? That's what it means. Let them think the way you are, but at least you are able to understand the partner. Partner needs your understanding. So there are two words which we wanted to say over here. One is the willingness to change. And one is the readiness to change. Can somebody tell us the difference between the two? What is the difference between willingness to change and readiness to change? Perfect. Willingness means the desire. These scores which we'll have, they will make us understand where I stand in what. Right? Doesn't have to be very bad out of humility. We think, I'm bad like this, I'm bad like that. No, we are realistic. So actually, sometimes in our fast pace of life, we don't get this time to sit and think. Life just goes on, no? One project after another. Janmashtami ke baad Gaur Purnima, Ram Navami, Rath Yatra, next Janmashtami. So you have no time to sit and think.
Till you get your own Shav Yatra. Life goes on.
There's no time to think. So when we think like this, we at least come to know that where do I stand? Am I being fair to my family? In old ISKCON days, we knew that there was a need of the hour. That movement had to be established. People had to, you know, build temples and go for book distribution and, you know, because of that families had to be neglected circumstantially. And that was the need of the hour there. But is that the situation today? Today temples are established, services are going on, there are so many devotees to assist in everything. So that is not the excuse which we could use today to destabilize our family structure. Because when we are talking about community, what is a community made up of?
Families.
And what are families made up of? Individuals. So unless an individual decides to make a change, there is not going to be any ripples on the community level. It will just remain like this. So this is just to bring to focus some things which get defocused in our life, you know, routine which is going on. So rightly as Prabhu said, willingness means the desire and readiness means desire plus action. Desire plus action means readiness. So we have three parts of this exercise to be done. How many people over here have come without their partners? Okay.
Okay, so he is available that way. Who else is here?
You are not married?
I'm not married.
So you could get her inside. So can we request that each one sits together, you know, husband wife come together and sit together? We know you are wedded to the temple. This, please, if you don't mind, you must be tired of sitting in one place.
You have to? At 4 we take a break.
Okay, we'll talk.
And at what is it? What is stop? So 5 minutes will be gone. You mean 5 minutes will be coming? Oh, then how are you going to do it?
People are feeling so awkward, you know, in the temple. So this is a very, very optional exercise. So part one was we did self-analysis. Okay. And we have seen that. Okay. We'll go to that second.
So before we go to, before Vishakapriya explains what you're going to do together, how did you first yourself singly, when you do this exercise, how did you feel? How did you feel doing the exercise on your own? How did you feel? What emotions, what thoughts? What would you say? Was that an experience? Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
To re-go back and rethink those things, our relation become very strong.
I appreciate that answer. Thank you very much for commenting. Anybody else like to tell us the experience of doing this beautiful exercise? Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Yeah, Prabhuji, it was very introspective. It's the same thing. We never thought of it. But today, when I'm putting on the paper, I realize, okay, this is something to be rethought. And it was introspective, Prabhuji.
Right.
Thank you.
That means, to go back to our previous slides, we are all encouraging this seminar to move us on forward. This is an evolutionary seminar, right? It is not information sharing at all, right? So we are urging you all to move on from whatever phase you are towards consolidation and commitment. Thank you. Anybody else would like to say? Yes, Mataji, go ahead.
Hari Bol, Prabhuji and Mataji. My Prabhuji took the kids to the math class. In fact, he's helping me out, and I feel very protected and very happy because he helps me out all the times. Thank you.
Right. Thank you for that.
So as Radhika Kripa Mataji said that, you know, those few words Mataji asked in the beginning, that we take the relationship for granted. So I basically fall in that boat, but after doing this exercise, it's kind of realization that I should not take it for granted and keep on evaluating this every now and then and see where I stand.
It can be an annual health checkup scheme.
Yeah, that's a health checkup is not done only once. It's the beginning.
Yeah. Rasaraj ji,
I was safe far away. Now you're getting me in trouble. it was very, very revealing. Revelation.
Revelation. Revelation.
For me, it's like a checklist. So every day we can just go through it and make sure we are following it, right? And as I think Prabhuji said that sometimes we take it granted, like, you know, how much do you pray for each other? Sometimes we do not pray, right? So we think, why do you need to pray if everything is going fine? But that's not true. Sometimes you need to pray even if everything is fine. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that nice comment, because in all these 10 questions which you are given, that pray is in most critical look has got the highest potential for indicing your relationship, right? If someone has been praying regularly for his partner, he gets a tremendously powerful score, and it's a fantastic relationship to have. So I think what you said is right. Yes, Prabhu, please
one
tell
thing,
us.
One thing which is coming to my mind is, okay, this is my understanding of how I am responding to the other person, or how I am contributing. But maybe if the rating is taken from other person's perspective, then we'll see the gap, like...
The gulf, okay. Vishaka, now next.
Prabhu got it. He got it. So this was part one of the exercise. We have three parts of the exercise, okay. Now part two, again, as we are saying, all this is optional. You don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. But part two of the exercise is match your list. No, I'll explain. Because sometimes, I mean, like that communication, giving time, all that. So the husband had given 8 marks of giving time. And the wife looked at him and said, when? She missed it. The husband had written, in terms of giving time, I am giving 8 marks time. And the wife was really wondering, when? When is that happening, you know? So perception. And we may just argue out throughout our life, that's your perception. That's your perception. But in today's day and age, what is it? Perception is reality. What we perceive, that is reality. So we'll just do this private exercise. You all could move away so that there is no cheating, overhearing, whatever. Just, it's a sincere exercise. It will help us.
Yeah, just separate out for
yeah, just
not husband
spread
wife.
Spread out. Temple is
the community can spread
couple,
out.
Couple. You could probably come a little ahead in case you want to do that. Prabhu, you could move a little behind. We just take 2 minutes. Take 2 minutes, then you not be talking intra-couple, inter-couple, that could be.
What do you want him to do? Tell them what you want him to do.
So for each of the points, Hari Bol. Prabhu, can we have your attention for each of the points? Just see. Hari Bol.
It's shut.
Is it on?
Speak in this.
Red light is there. Okay. Hari Bol. For each of the points, we request you that go point by point. Just don't laugh it out, or just don't, overlook the whole thing. Go point by point and just see, and then we'll do part three of the exercise. Yeah, just see what has your partner, how much marks. If, like as I said, for example, if I have given 6 marks for respect, so does the wife think the same way? What is her marks?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll take it back. Yeah.
If you need to check the questions again, they are here.
Good enough. Even if the image goes to the side, that is excellent.
What you have done is... Inter-couple, Mataji, not intra-couple. Inter-couple.
it's so beautiful to see. Look at this scene. It's so beautiful. People are just, it's just a healthy sign to see people can come together at this level.
The questions are there over here. If you need to see the second part, also we'll put it on in case you don't. Yes. Oh, you didn't say that?
No hard business here. Hard business was for respect. Respect ke liye hard tha. Appreciation is always a expressed phenomena.
Verbally or physically. If you don't appreciate verbally, they say it is like a gift which you have wrapped but you never landed up giving them. What's the use of the gift? So we are talking of when did you last appreciate? Last month, last year, like that.
Okay, I think it's done. Take part 3.
Is everybody done with it? Okay. Can we have your attention, please? So Prabhuji wanted to comment on the site which was seen.
Yeah. No, you're just having a private talk, but I want to express my joy just to see our beautiful Vaishnavas coming together in such a deep and meaningful manner, the way you all are doing it right now. It's a very beautiful sight. And this sight is actually one which deeply brings forth into our consciousness the very purpose why we married in the first place. Right? To sit in the Lord's temple and to reevaluate and deepen a relationship and to make a relationship so beautiful that we can make it a conscious offering to the Lord. And that endeavor itself, which is going on right now in front of our eyes, is a beautiful sight to see. And thank you for giving me this experience.
So now we'll do part 3 of the exercise. Part 1 was that I marked myself for these points. Part 2 was we matched and we saw. Now part 3 is that I want my partner to mark me on this. You got it? Like, I thought that I am appreciating 6 points. So does my, what is my partner's thing? Do it separately. Don't do it together. You don't have to match or talk right now. It's an individual exercise. Again, that you did it for yourself, now you do it that for your wife. Should we put on the next batch of questions? Because human tendency is always that we feel we are doing perfect. But the opposite person understands.
So this third part eliminates, this is a scientific thing, therefore it eliminates self-bias. The first one is going to be not accurate because it is promoted by self-bias. Right? I feel I'm suspecting her so much. So there is a self-bias there, but now this is going to be a cross-check on that.
Is that okay? Done?
Can we have attention, Prabhus? We are a little conscious of the time factor here, so I would like to take one important slide here. This slide is basically like an attitudinal slide. As you can see, the x-axis is years in marriage and y is depth in marriage. So there could be three different attitudes which we may have cultivated in executing our relation with our partners. If it has been Kanishta type of attitude, it is likely that it would have gone to the graph which you see number one, where in the first years, few years, when there was infatuation, it went a little high because everything was appearing new and nice. But because we did not really attend to the relationship the way it should have been, in the very high probability that in very soon the graph starts sliding downwards, and after a few years you can see that the graph is almost coming to the level of touching the x-axis, right? So it becomes devitalized. It's a devitalized relationship, which is very unfortunate if it takes place in anybody's life, right? And the second and Madhyama attitude would be where there's a rapid growth at the beginning, and somehow because they are reasonably mature, they do not allow things to degenerate for themselves and their family and their children, and they keep on coasting along. So there is some sort of a passive acceptance of each other's natures, and yet it lacks the beauty of evolution, and it doesn't blossom further, right? So it's the type of marriage which probably most commonly you can see, which is there. And however, when we add the attitude of uttama nature, that's the type of attitude which we all want to, when we did the sankalpa a few minutes back, that's the attitude which we want to incorporate within our heart. The uttama attitude, where we take onus for our relationship. We become responsible for our relationship, right? We are responsible for our sadhana, we are responsible for our money earning, we are responsible for our service in the temple, but we want to be responsible for this relationship as well. And if you are responsible and we want to make it grow further, then you are having uttama attitude. So we would encourage all of you to adopt this attitude, because this attitude of growth and making it uttam would be able to break the barriers created by the Kanishta and the Madhyama attitudes. Okay? So this attitude which breaks barriers and helps you to grow further and take challenges. So as you can see, uttama attitude is very progressive in nature. And that uttama attitude will give you the strength that whatever obstacles and roadblocks are there in the relationship, you'll be able to fight it out with that attitude. So this is something to encourage us with the right attitude. Because ultimately, we all say that attitudes are most important. Attitude determines our altitude, as they say, right? So this is the attitude we want to create in our life.
So this was the first section of the seminar which we wanted to convey in evolution of relationship. Now the next thing which we would like to take as... So the next session which we would like to go ahead with is attitudinal detox, which we will not start now because we have to end at 4 o'clock. We'll just take a few questions because there's only 10 minutes more. But as he said, the attitude decides our altitude. And we develop our attitudes from two sources, right? We are staying in this world. Social attitudes, whatever the society has taught us, whatever our background, our upbringing, our cultural background, our caste, whatever, you know, we might be Gujaratis, we are South Indians, and whatever that baggage has come along by the thought process in that particular community, that is some of the attitudes we develop. And second is, when we came into Krishna consciousness, by misunderstanding the scriptures and what is spoken about married life in scriptures, sometimes we have misconceptions because of that. Wrong attitudes gathered because of that. So that is what we will be covering, attitudinal detox. That how, what are the attitudes and how we need to detox and purge those attitudes from our mind to have a happy, stable married life. So we don't know when.
So tomorrow we'll continue with the session. Hopefully, how many of you think you'll be able to attend the session tomorrow in Plano in Madan Kishore Prabhu's house? Tomorrow evening at about 6:30 is when we start. So we'll have about 70%, and there'll be more that'll come tomorrow.
From the local area.
From that local area, yes. So tomorrow we'll be in Plano. If you need directions and addresses, you can talk to me, or you can look at the Facebook invite. We will continue tomorrow at 6 o'clock, 6:15, and then we can go on for a longer time there, depending upon.
By 6:15, people can come.
We'll try. If you can try, that'll be really nice.
So we'll be taking three main topics tomorrow. One is the attitudinal detox. One is we'll be taking RPMs. You know what is RPM?
Revolutions per minute, right? Yeah, that's right. But we were going to call it as repeatedly performed mistakes.
What are the repeatedly performed mistakes which we do in our relationships, knowingly, unknowingly? We'll be taking that as part two. And the third thing which we'll be covering is relationship enhancers. We'll be taking relationship enhancers. So these three things we would like to cover, which will require some time. So if you all can please come in time, you would get the continuity of the session. Otherwise it would remain incomplete. That was just a small promo for tomorrow.
So we honestly want to thank all of you for spending your time. Sunday afternoon, I think it's a time where most people would like to take a nap and get ready for the coming week, the struggle which you have. But you have sacrificed your good nap sleep in the afternoon and been here in the afternoon. So I thank you all very much for being here. And we pray that it has been useful to you, whatever was done in the last 2 hours. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
And we also hope that your house must have been Vrindavan, but tonight it doesn't become Kurukshetra. So we take it in a positive way and don't take it in the other way.
Yeah.
Because it's only between two of you. Nobody, third person needs to know.
This exercise should act, my dear friends, as an impetus. It is not to really point fingers, because we talked about I to V concept. So even if there is a large gap in your evaluation, right, a big gulf, it's something which every member should feel, that how I can help. Each member should feel how I can help to make the gulf become small, right? So it should be, the mood should be, as we said, the uttam mood, so that, because ultimately there is no superior and inferior in family life. There is no big and small. Our mood of Vaishnavism is, we are all the servant of the servant of the servant of our partners, right? So if we adopt this beautiful mood which Mahaprabhu has taught us, right, how I can help my partner to make his score better, right? So if that mood we carry in our hearts, that house definitely has a potential to become Vaikuntha. So keep that positive mood in your heart and let it be an impetus to grow further. Hari Bol.